David Igier is a polymath education consultant specializing in a progressive education environment. He joins us this morning to talk about that. David, good morning. We spoke to Simon, I think, yesterday. He told me to pull myself together, that it's not as cold as I'm complaining about it, that it is. So I hope that you're going to be a little bit more patient with me this morning.
Yeah, good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
So what was that? That was a little unnerving.
Yeah, and Joburg, and particularly those people who live on the ridge or to the south of the ridge, experience tremors frequently. Mm-hmm. And they are usually, and if we talk about the Richter scale, they are usually sort of one or two on the Richter scale. So if it's one, you don't feel it. If there's two, yeah, on a quiet evening, you might hear a slight rattle. Mm. And then so to get to three, this one was 4.2.
Wow.
And that's quite significant. 4.2 on the Witwatersrand round, I would think, happens roughly once a year, maybe once every 2 years.
Right.
And I haven't had a chance to research that kind of frequency. I remember once 40 years ago, there was one that was 4.5, and that was severe enough that I made myself a T-shirt that it survived the Great Joburg earthquake.
So we're 0.3 away from a T-shirt, is what you're saying this morning.
Yeah, and then the Richter scale, what you've got to understand about that each one up on the Richter scale is about a 30 times increase in the amount of energy.
Ah.
So in other words, there was a big one in Alaska yesterday, 8 on the Richter scale, which is huge.
Mm.
And so that is 100 million times bigger than a 1.
I see. So each increment increase is very significant, because it's on a percentage that's built on a number before it.
Yes, yes. So it's a multiplication. Mm. It's what's called an exponential function.
Mm.
Right. Yeah, and then the Witwatersrand, it's got a number of reasons why we have all these tremors. The main one being the mining industry, the gold mining industry. And the gold is taken out of quartzite, and quartzite is a very hard rock. And so it rings like a bell, just as a hard steel bell is going to ring much better than a soft copper bell. Soft copper bell won't ring at all.
Yeah.
And so the hard rock rings by like a bell when it cracks or breaks, and that also enables it to transmit the waves very easily over quite long distances. So the quartzite layer in which layers plural, in which the gold is, extends some 250 kilometers east to west, and about another 200 kilometers north to south. So it's a very extensive area, the Witwatersrand Basin. So when something does break, it rings through the whole basin and you feel it. If you live north of the ridge, then it does have to be a much bigger one. And I heard on the radio this morning that somebody in Hyde Park felt it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's north of the ridge, and that's
we've had listeners all the way through to Morningside, it does seem. Robin Hill, I don't know where Robin Hills is.
Robin Hills out northwest.
It does seem to be fairly extensive.
Yes, and then the cause of almost all the earthquakes on the Witwatersrand is the settling down of mining operations. So we've been mining there for 140 years now, the rock is very hard, so it does have some strength to support itself. But if you're taking out a slice of mineral, then obviously it's going to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the deep mines, you cannot ever support that weight. And so what they can do is just slow down the collapse, and they use that with what are called matbacks. So a mat that used to just be made out of gum trees, gum poles,
right,
just laid in a lattice.
Right.
These days they interlace that with concrete. And the idea is not to stop the roof collapsing, but just to control it. So that just you have enough time to go in, mine out the gold, and then get out, and then through time it slowly settles down. And most of that time that movement is about a meter or so as it settles. That's how thick the slices that they've taken out.
Mm.
And it settles down, and most of the time it will cause very minor disturbances. But every now and again, there will be a bigger break. So the key idea here is that if the mining operation's maximum depth is about 4 kilometers, so when you look up, you know, when an earthquake happens and then you look up to see what depth it was at, most earthquake sites only say whether they're less than 10 kilometers. There is a site that says they're less than 5, and you've really got to get right into the details to see how deep it was. This one was less than 5. Which means almost certainly it was mining-related.
So does that mean we aren't really susceptible or in danger of a greater earthquake, such like other areas are around the world? If this is
the major earthquakes are mainly natural earthquakes. They're driven by plate tectonics. That's the movement of big slabs of rock, and obviously then the earthquakes are mostly going to be around the edges. But with the Great Rift Valley and the sort of splits that are happening in East Africa, you know, if you come back in 10 million years' time, all the African Great Lakes will be one sea. And so the East Africa is slowly splitting off. And some of those faults related to that do extend quite far south into Mozambique. And then there's some ancient faults that are in the Witwatersrand area. And some of those are still mobile. Mm. And so I think there was a 4.5 on the Richter scale in, I'm not sure whether it got as far as Northwest Province, but in that area earlier this year. And that would have been related to one of those faults that are sort of an extension of the Rift Valley system. And that was deeper. But that would be very rare because we're in the middle of the plate.
Right.
And the Western Cape.
Yes.
The fold mountain, you know, if you fold up a whole lot of rock, there's going to be a lot of tension in there, and then 3 times that tension gets released. So even though those fold mountains are very old, there was a very big earthquake in Powell in, I think it was 1967. So yeah, they're very rare here.
Right. And does this mean that it's unlikely to experience aftershocks the way they would in natural earthquakes?
Yeah, well, once you have that, because it's a collapse release,
that's what I understand.
That collapse, that might free up some other rock to collapse, but it's unlikely that there would be big aftershocks.
Right.
There were a few. I've just been looking at a site, and there were sort of half a dozen, much, much smaller ones in the hour or two afterwards.
Right, but none that necessarily...
it's unlikely that there's going to be another one on the same scale.